Good morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. If you would, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Last Saturday, I had a difficult time. I went to Memphis with my wife. We decided to do something about in August that we planned for and we trained for. So last Saturday, I woke up at 5:30. It was something. And yet we, as smart as we are, I guess, we decided to run a half marathon that day. It was all right. But as we ran, I had a few tests that I had to overcome. I had to decide, you know, well, in mile one, why am I running this? In mile two, why am I running this? About mile three, I got hungry and I wondered what I could eat and when I could eat. But the idea was that no matter how much I had done, there was still a little bit more until I actually finished the race. You see, it was difficult. It was hard for me. Because if you had asked me, like, at least 2 years ago, I would have said, you're crazy, and I would have never been doing that. But I planned for this. Bailey and I planned for this. Because we wanted to do it. We decided to try for this, to work at it. Because we had reason to. You see, the half marathon we ran was the St. Jude half. And it was an honor for my brother and for another patient that we know down in Alabama. But we decided because of that we were going to go ahead and run. We as Christians have our own race that we have to decide to run. We can't just say one day, you know, yeah, I want to run this race, but I don't actually want to work at it. I don't want to do anything for it. I just want to sit back and hope that I get done with it. We have to push through. We have to endure. We have to press on. And pressing on is difficult. It's not always easy. Because there are things in our ways that we're going to have to deal with. We're going to have to overcome. Look with me at Hebrews 12, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This morning I want to talk about pressing on and striving to finish. You see, during that whole entire race, my goal was that finish line. My goal was crossing and being able to finish. And that's what our goal should be as Christians as well, is being able to finish our race that we have set before us. And in order to finish, we must press on. But pressing on is difficult. In fact, the first step to pressing on is kind of strange. You see, in order to press on, we must lose. We must lose in order to press on. We see that very clearly outlined in verse 1 of chapter 12, where it says, "Let us also lay aside every weight and sin, which clings so closely." Just like running a physical race, when you have to kind of throw away stuff that will hinder your run. I had to throw away junk food, sodas, sweet tea even. It was a catastrophe. But in our spiritual race, we have to be willing to cast aside things that are holding us back, that are slowing us down. We have to be willing to drop our baggage. And it's difficult. It's not an easy thing to do because sometimes our baggage has been with us our entire lives. Sometimes our baggage is so crucial to who we are that cutting it out means cutting out a part of who you think you are. But there's a very simple question we have to ask when it comes to losing. And that question is this helping me grow or is it holding me back? And that can help us realize what in our life is truly important. What in our life is truly beneficial to pressing on. You know, we may have a job which has good benefits. It may pay well. The vacation may be very good. But if that job is requiring us to work all day on Sunday, all day on Wednesday, and prioritizing itself over God and over our faith, then that job may not be the best job to have. Likewise, if we're in a relationship that may have all these benefits, that the person that we're in a relationship with really understands us. They really help us to be the best person we think we are. If that relationship is adulterous or immoral in any way, then should we really be in that relationship? Should we really put that relationship ahead of pressing on our goal? You see, pressing on requires us to cut out the things that are holding us back, to lay aside every weight that is holding us back. And it's not easy, because if we do that, that means we're admitting we had stuff prioritized over God, over our faith. Not only does it mean cutting out things in our life that may be holding us back, but it also means continuing past sin. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, we can understand this a little more clearly than we do in Hebrews. Philippians chapter 3, and we'll be reading verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. In Hebrews 12 and in Philippians 3, it all talks about the same idea of pressing on. And in verse 1 of Hebrews 12, it talks about laying aside the sin. Here in Philippians 3, it talks about pushing forward, focusing on what lies ahead rather than what lies behind. The idea in Hebrews 12 is that sin clings closely. Imagine you've gotten your clothes wet, and you're trying to change clothes. It's difficult because the clothes cling to your skin. They grip your skin. They're hard to remove. Sin is the same way. When we make mistakes, when we sin, it clings to us. It becomes a part of who we were, what we've done. In high school, I dealt with this a lot. I would make mistakes, and I would look at those mistakes and think, well, I've done that. I can't get any better. Might as well just keep on making mistakes. I can't compare myself to someone else because look what I've done. I doubt they've done stuff like that. And it clung to me. It made it hard for me to press on because I was constantly looking behind at what I had done rather than what I could do ahead of me. And that's the idea here in Hebrews 12 and in Philippians 3, that we press on no matter what sins we may have made, no matter what mistakes we may have made. It still requires repentance and understanding that what we did was wrong. But pressing on requires us to not forget it, but just push past it. Understand that we have made those mistakes, but we're not going to make them again. We're going to try to not make them again. We're going to put effort forward. Imagine in a run or like this picture here, if you're climbing up a mountain, hiking a mountain. If you trip and skin your knee, is that going to be the end of the trip for you? Are you going to look up and see the peak and say, well, I scraped my knee, it's kind of stinging, I'm just going to turn right around and go back home. I don't want to finish this. Or are you going to look up to that peak and say, you know, I'm going to continue going. Yes, I may have a little scraped knee, but I'm going to finish this. I'm going to get to the top. That's the same idea here. Our sins, our mistakes, shouldn't hold us back from finishing our race. They shouldn't hold us back from getting to the finish line. Putting away our past isn't easy. Losing what is behind us isn't easy. We're never told that. But it's required in order to press on. In order to do it, it takes preparation and effort. You can't just go in one day and say, well, I'm going to cut this out. I'm just going to go and get rid of it. And it's a spur of a moment idea. It takes, you know, planning, thinking ahead. Like, well, do I have to take this out? If I take this out, where does that lead me? And that preparation should all lead to your spiritual life, to your run that you're supposed to be running. In order to press on, we must lose whatever is holding us back and continue forward. In order to continually press on and lose our baggage, we must be enduring it. Endurance is an interesting thing. It's an active thing. Endurance is not passive. You cannot sit back in a chair and say, yep, I'm enduring. I'm pushing forward as best as I can. Rather, every time we see the word endurance, even every time we read about it, there's an action that goes with it. There's a verb that goes with it. Verbs such as pressing on, continuing on, lasting, are all that idea that there's work for us to do. We cannot sit back and hope that it happens for us. The definition itself reads, the ability or strength to continue or last, especially despite fatigue, stress, or other adverse conditions, having stamina. Physically, enduring means pushing past whatever may be hindering you. Last week, as I was running, I didn't like the cold. I didn't like how my feet were hurting. I didn't like that I was hungry. And yet, if I stopped, I still had another couple miles to walk. And so why do that when I could just jog or run it to finish it? I had to decide which was more important, walking and being hungry, or finishing the race and getting something at the end a little sooner. It means, enduring also means just forgetting whatever's there in front of you. If you're at work and you're called into a meeting, and that meeting is kind of boring and you're tired and you want to go home, well, you can't just walk out of that meeting. You can't just open the door and leave. You have to endure it. You have to finish that meeting. Spiritually, enduring means we must endure trials and persecutions and temptations. Enduring, accepting Christ, becoming a Christian, requires us to act. And one of those actions is enduring. And we endure different things. We have different trials that come about us. Trials of sickness. We're not always going to be healthy. Our family is not always going to be healthy. And that's going to be difficult to understand. It was difficult for me and my family to understand a few years ago when Chandler was diagnosed with cancer. It was one of those things that hit us kind of like a truck. We didn't realize what was going on. And yet, we couldn't just give up. We couldn't just fold the cards and say, you know what, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. We had to continue going. We had to press on. Chandler had to press on. And it's not easy, though. We have to learn how to handle the stress, the sickness that comes to us. Because if we don't, we're just going to fold back and give up. And that's not what we're called to do. We're called to endure those trials, no matter how difficult they are. We'll also face trials of opposition. Turn with me to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, and we see very clearly that we are going to be opposed in our races, that we're going to have trials pop up. Luke 21, starting in verse 10. Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilence. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness." We're going to be faced with opposition. Now, in this time, their opposition was very much death and imprisonment. If they showed their faith in any way, it could lead to them being killed, becoming a martyr for their faith. We don't really have that same kind of opposition. We aren't afraid that if we go out and if we publicly show our faith that we're going to be thrown into an execution. We're going to be killed for what we believe. But we still face opposition. It's just different. We may be threatened because of our faith. If you have a job and someone comes to you and says, "Yeah, well, why do you believe this? Why do you hold that faith?" And they start to question what you believe in, and not only that, they get others in the workplace to question you, well, then you're going to feel a bit ostracized. You're going to feel a bit out of the loop because everyone else there may not believe what you believe, and they may wonder why you believe what you believe. And because of that, it may become recognized in your job, and it may continue to go up and up until the boss looks at you and says, "Well, you're not like the rest of my workers. You're actually not really getting along well with them, or they're not getting along well with you because, well, they think you're different from them. And I'm sorry, but we're going to have to let you go." That idea of losing your job for your faith, because maybe your boss doesn't see eye to eye with you, or your coworkers may think there's some problems and talk about it. It's a very real possibility. Our opposition is different from the Bible opposition, and yet we still have it. We still have people who will mock us, who will go out there and slander our names because of what we believe, because they don't agree with what we believe. We still have to face it. We can't crumple under that adversity. We can't crumple under people mocking us because we believe in God, because we go to church on Sundays and Wednesdays and we do things differently than others. We cannot fall down because of that adversity. Not only do we have trials of opposition, but we've got trials of temptation as well. In our lives, we're all going to be tempted. And on top of that, we're all going to fall short. In Romans 3:23, we see that. All have fallen short and sinned. But that doesn't mean we give up. We can't just sin and fall down and say, well, I've done it. Can't fix it. Just going to live my life. Going to stay in that little low hole. We have to continue. We have to continue because the temptation isn't going to stop just because we mess up once. We're going to be continually faced with questions and temptations of lust, of greed, anger, pride. And we're going to have to face that. We're going to have to endure that. Imagine this. If you're driving to work and someone cuts you off, it's hard to imagine, I know. It's very difficult. But how do you react? Is your first reaction to yell and curse at them and call them all these names so that everyone in your car can see how you reacted to someone doing something a little menial in front of you? Or is your reaction to bite your tongue? And rather, instead of focusing on that person who cut you off, maybe focusing on the fact that you're able to take your family to a hike, a picnic, and that you're going to be spending time with your family, or that you're able to enjoy the day, rather than focusing on that person who cut you off and caused you to maybe, you know, oh, well, I'm going to yell at this person because of what they did. We still face temptations no matter how many times we faced them before. They're still going to be there. And enduring requires us to overcome them. Enduring requires us to defeat them. Endurance isn't always easy, just like pressing on isn't always easy. Yet, we have certain things in our race that helps us to endure a little bit better. Look back with me in Hebrews chapter 12. Our races that we run are individual races. No one can run our race for us. But that doesn't mean we're alone. And Hebrews 12 points this out. In verse 1, it says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we have so many witnesses around us as we want to run our race. And the witnesses it's talking about in this sense are the people in the Bible that we can read about, those who have faced temptations, those who have endured and pressed on and finished their race. We can look at their actions. We can look at the actions of David, of Moses, of Paul, and see, well, they were able to do it. I can do it. And we're encouraged by this. As we run races, it's easy to be discouraged. It's easy to fall down and say, you know, well, I can't do it. I can't finish it. But it's a lot harder to do that, to give up, when you've got people around you saying, you can do it. You can finish it, just like Paul finished it. In the race last weekend around mile 6, when in the half marathon I was getting very tired, I was really hungry, St. Jude did something to encourage the runners. You see, in mile 6, you run straight through the campus of St. Jude. And all around your run, you're surrounded by cancer patients and their families. And those of us runners, and when I say that, I mean mostly me, who are tired, who are feeling weak, you look at what's around you, and you realize that what you're running for, what you're there for, is so much more important. And you look at those kids who maybe can't even run or walk, and you realize how blessed you are. And it encourages you to continue running that race, to continue and finish strong for all of those who can't, for all those families who are dealing with different trials than you are. You see, St. Jude does that in order to show the runners not only what they're running for, but to help them finish the race. And that's what our cloud of witnesses does for our spiritual race. Anytime that we're feeling weak, that we're feeling overwhelmed, we can look to our witnesses and think, they did that. I can do it too. I can finish strong. You see, pressing on requires endurance, but it isn't always easy. And because of that, we have a cloud of witnesses. But not only do we have a cloud of witnesses, but we have the greatest example of endurance that we could ever hope for. In verse 2 of Hebrews 12, we read of the story of Christ in a summarized way. Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. You see, not only does pressing on require losing and endurance, but pressing on revolves around Christ. It revolves around our Savior. We see the idea of Christ in this passage, of what He is to us. It starts off by telling us that Christ is the founder and perfecter of our faith. The founder of our faith means simply this, that our faith is in Him. Our faith is in the hope that He brought us. And not only is He the founder of our faith, not only is He where our faith is at, but He's the perfecter of our faith. He lived on this earth, He faced trials, He faced temptations, and He perfected the race. He finished it. And that's what Christ is to us. He is the image of perfection, the true image of that, well, Christ did it, I can do it too. Christ was able to do what He did. He was able to focus on His race because He was focused towards the finish line. He was focused on the joy that was to come. The joy that was to come for Him and for us is salvation. Because of what Christ was going to do, He was going to give men the opportunity to be with Him in heaven. He was going to give them the opportunity of salvation. And He was focused on that joy of saving souls. And because of this focus, because of what He set His mind on, He endured something far worse than we will probably ever have to endure. He endured the cross. In verse 2, we see that He despised the shame of the cross and yet still endured it. There was so much shame that goes with the crucifixion. It was reserved for the lowliest criminals of society. And yet Christ went through with it. He went through with it despite all the mocking, all the slandering, all the pointing and laughing, because here He is, the King of the Jews, and He can't even come off of a cross. He despised that shame. And yet He still went through with it, because He understood at the end of this race, He would give salvation to all. Because of His endurance, because of what He faced and how He finished it, Christ was rewarded. And we read this in Hebrews chapter 12, that He is seated at the right hand of God. The right hand of any king in ancient times and now is normally reserved for the closest advisor, the second powerful most person in the kingdom besides the king. Christ is rewarded with such a gift because of what He went through, because of what He established with His death. With Christ, we can look at Him and have an example of how we are to run our race. We all face our own struggles and trials, and I pointed that out earlier in this lesson. But we all must endure like Christ endured. And in order to do that, we must set our mind on the joy that is before us. We have that opportunity of salvation that is at the finish line, that is at the end of our race. But in order to get there, we must press on. We have to finish our race. And that requires losing, that requires endurance. And it's going to be difficult. When I was running the race on Saturday, I continually reminded myself, well, I've got about 6 miles left, 5 miles left, 4 miles left, until I was crossing the finish line. Because if I took it a mile at a time, it became a little easier. Because I wasn't focused on, well, I've got to run a whole another 6 miles, and I've already been running for about an hour. It wasn't that easy. It was difficult. But I reminded myself of the finish line because I reminded myself what was at the end of my race. And that's what we need to be doing as Christians, reminding ourselves what is at the end of our race rather than worrying about what is actually going on in our race. Because if we're so worried, if we're so stressed out about the trials that we face, and if we're having problems looking at that and saying, well, I'm already facing with this, how can I finish the race? Then our race may be over before it's actually begun. We must focus on that joy that's before us, the joy of salvation, in order to finish our race. And if we ever feel that our trials are too much, that what we're going through is too much to endure for anyone, well, then we need to look no further than Christ Himself. Because the cross, like I said before, is more than what we would endure, is more than what we'll probably ever endure. But we can also understand that if we do end up dying for our faith, if we do end up being a martyr for our faith. That is a blessing in its own. And we see that in Philippians chapter 1, where it reads, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better." You see, even if we do become a martyr for our faith, we'll be with Christ if we ran our races correctly. If we ran our races with that faith in Him, then we'll be in a place far better than what we are here. But yet, even if we end our race like most people do, then we should still be fruitful here. And we see this in Philippians chapter 1, that we have labor to do. We have work to do in our race. So there's nothing that we can ever do about sitting back. We're never told that we should be sitting back and relaxing in our race, because it requires action. Pressing on revolves around Christ in every single way. During our race, we run while looking towards Christ. During our trials, we're reminded about what Christ endured. And when we endure, we understand the reward that is there before us. We understand the joy that is there before us at the end of our race. Pressing on matters. It is not something that we can say, yes, that's a topic in the Bible. They mention it a few times. It matters to us. Because our job as a Christian is never over. Our work as a Christian is never over. Pressing on requires losing our past and forgetting about what we may have done. Forgetting and moving on. Because if we are pressing on, if we're losing, we lose what is holding us back, then we're focused on our faith. We're focused on finishing our race and strengthening ourselves so that we can finish our race. Pressing on requires enduring whatever trials may come our way. With that, it'll show that a foundation of our faith matters. That if we are to truly endure, we have to have a strong foundation to withstand whatever comes our way. Because if we don't, then we'll crumble to the adversity that comes our way. And finally, pressing on revolves around Christ in every single way that we can see. If we focus on Him as we run our race, then our race will be easier than just going at it alone. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come to You now, thanking You for this opportunity this morning to worship You and focus in Your Word. We pray, Father, that as we go on throughout this week and throughout our lives, that we continually look to You and Your Son, that we continually press on and endure whatever trials Satan may throw at us. We pray that we will focus and strengthen our foundation of faith in You and in the hope of salvation that You have offered. We thank You so much for that salvation, that hope that we have. And we understand that it's through Christ that we have that hope. It's in Your Son's name that we pray. Amen. I appreciate your attention. We'll now be dismissed for classes.